World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I woke up in a pretty good mood this morning, but I got in a worse mood the more time, longer I was up. I got in a worser and a worser and a worser mood, so then maybe one of those, if you're one of those snowflakes, you may not want to stick with us very long here today. Got some stuff we want to dig into. This is the 31st of October. You know, I guess the older I get, the faster time flies. You're going to think I'm crazy. Sometimes I don't even know what month it is. Anybody else feel like that out there? I'm telling you the truth. When I go out and write a check and I, is it 10? Is it 9? What month is that? Actually goes through my head sometimes. And I guess it's because I'm doing everything I can to not only to see what's going on in the future, but to try to live in the moment. And actually, I'm looking farther down the road than sometimes not taking care of the stuff that's right in front of me today. So thanks for joining in. I got to say something. Sherry, all the way from Las Vegas, is watching. She gets up every morning at 4 o'clock, she said, to watch us here on the queue. And listen, I want to invite some of you out there who still haven't joined the huddle. Come on in. Water's okay. We'll be nice to you. In fact, you can come in and you can listen, and we won't make you be part of it. You can just kind of hang out with the crew. And right now, I look up here on my screen. It says we've got 20 people in here. We can get as many as 30. So come on. Come on, jump right in here with us. We got a couple new faces today. David was down in with Rich, down in the crew down there, doing some repair. David is a chef, and he came down, didn't know what he was supposed to do, and they put him to work cooking food. And as Rich said, he saved us a bunch of money. So David, God bless you. Ray's heading back home. How's it looking down there, Big Rich? Give us a full report here real quick here. So I got a video I'm going to show here before I get into real.
Yeah, Dave, it's going good. We lost a couple guys yesterday and a couple more today, but we got about three quarters of the fourth house done yesterday. We're headed back down there this morning. Man, I mean, it's a lot of these people, I guess, have to be out of the hotels. FEMA's cutting them off November.
Rich, 4th that was 6th. Amazing. Rich, that was amazing. I got that video I'm going to play. These people are staying in hotels?
Yeah, I guess that is what FEMA did do. They relocated them about 20 miles north up here in Beaumont to hotels, and that's why we had such a hard time finding lodging. Mm. And so people going Rich, home every day.
Where's FEMA getting that money?
Well, from you and me.
I watched that video you did last night. That lady, she started telling me how many people are in her hotel room. We're gonna go ahead and play that here in a second. But I know, Rich, from some of the people that I get emails and stuff. It's really been a life changing experience for those guys down there, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, Dave, we're wore out and everybody's grinning ear to ear. I mean, it feels like we're in two-a-days, you know?
Yeah.
We got our coach, Jim Kraft, here with us, man, and he's cracking the whip and making us do drills and all kinds of stuff. But we're getting
You made a point about him yesterday, Rich, in a video. You said there is something about coaches, isn't it? Jim Kraft was a coach his whole life, and they have the ability to keep a lot of people moving and recognize skills that other guys have and plug them in and encourage them. And that's Jim, isn't it?
It is. Yep. I mean, man, I tell you what a team. This thing has went as smooth as it can possibly go. I mean, for guys flying in, and you know, you need tools to do that.
Yeah.
And man, it is just, we had to buy a few, you know, we got Patrick who brought some, and it's just been smooth. We've got a lot done. I think Dale even said he was hoping we'd get through three houses out of the five, and we're probably going to finish up with four of them. So
that's pretty daggone good.
Yeah,
it matters to them, doesn't it, Rich?
Yeah, because they're scared, Dave. These they have only till first part of November, and then they're out, you know. And I mean, FEMA can't keep them forever, but
no,
they're penniless. They don't know what they're going to do. And, you know, it's got to bring them hope and comfort knowing even if the house isn't completely completed, it's sealed up and they can move back in.
Certainly the four of them that you guys Rich Steph picked up they're going to be better off. We sure appreciate it. We appreciate it, Rich. I'm going to, hey, Jared, get two things, Jared. Get that video up there. It says Texas video. Rich took this video yesterday. Chad Estes, put it together in a little bit better form. It's about 5 minutes. Go ahead and play that one real quick there, Jared, because I want to get whooping on you here. I appreciate Rich and all those guys down there. We tip our cap and we salute you and God bless you. And you made the church look great again. But I got some whooping I want to do this morning. Yeah, so Jared, go ahead and pull that video up there if you can. The chat. Yeah, you got it up there, folks. This playing over here on mine. Chad put this together of this. I just think this is a powerful video. Go ahead, Jared.
It's Rich from Pass the Salt. We're here at our third house here this morning. We'll give you a little tour before and after. Homeowners got the bottom 4 foot gutted. This is another house that had about 36 inches of water in it. A lot of damage, so a bunch of new studs have been put in. same story everywhere you go. So just give you a little walkthrough, see what we're dealing with. Another wall was pushed out. This one's been anchored. The one in the other room has not been anchored to the concrete yet. It's shifted this whole house. Pretty amazing power of nature. We'll live. But pretty much total house. We got to do the bottom 4 feet. Like I said, homeowners got it all ready. Guys are carrying drywall in as fast as they can. We're working day in, day out, trying to get these people back in their home. Thanks to your donations. And Coach Dave, you just, man, put a great team together down here. These guys, nonstop, don't have to tell anybody anything. They're just getting busy and humbled by the experience. anyway, I'll check in with you later. There's Brother Jim Bob, Brother Jim Kraft, staying with it all day long. God bless everybody. Bye.
So he had to pull him out the ditch.
Well, that's a deep ditch.
Mm-hmm. That's it. I want to scrape that ditch.
This is Miss Linda, the homeowner. And she just told us that the night of the storm, she woke up because the water was at the top of her mattress, and it scared her, so she got in the middle of the mattress. And then what ended up happening?
My son bust through the door and got me out of it, and it was till it got to my waist.
Did you walk out? Did they get you a boat?
I walked out. I was swimming already. I was like swimming out to my house. And I had the baby in there. The baby was 2 months. I had a 2 month baby, and I had her. Whoa. And a mama. My grandson in the back, he's 17. And then my friend. No, we it got to waist deep.
Miss Linda?
Yeah, the water got way deep when my son came through the front door and said, Mama, get you out of here.
Miss Linda, can you tell the people back home what it means to have people from all over the country show up and get you back in your house?
God-fearing
people.
God is good. I mean, these people really been a help to me. If it wasn't for these people, I don't know what I'd do. I'm living in a motel right now.
How many people live here with you?
It's my grandson, my friend, my granddaughter, the baby, the baby 4 months, and the girl 4 years old.
You got a whole house full.
I got a house full.
And you're staying in a hotel?
We staying at the Super 8 Motel in Beaumont.
Okay.
They say it's for the end, November the 7th.
Well, hopefully we get you back in here by then.
Yeah, I'm trying to hear and get back, because every day I wake up, I thank God for waking me up, and everybody else, and I thank God for my life. But I told the hotel people, I said, you know, I'm so afraid they won't put us out. We don't have no place to go. So I talked with FEMA last Thursday, and they said everything's supposed to be in November 7th. I told FEMA, we ain't got no money to pay no motel room.
Right.
We ain't got no place to go. So
what do you think about us getting this finished up for you so you can get back in here?
I mean, y'all came for me. Y'all came through for me.
All right.
Yeah, God is good. And I love God. And I thank y'all for all the work, the whole team.
That's right.
Putting it together. Y'all, I mean, y'all really got it going.
Well, we here to lift up Jesus, and we're here to serve those in need of Him.
Yeah,
so that's why we're here, and we want to get you restored back to your family, back in your house. God bless you.
God bless Linda. You too, and bless this team, this church.
That Coach Dave live at Pass the Salt. We believe in passing the salt around here. We're supposed to be the salt of the world.
And also, thank you, Pastor Dean.
Pastor Dale Associate, Dale. King Jesus Ministries. Thank That's right.
In Jesus' name. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Look at that crew there, huh? Is that something? Is that something, folks? It just moves my heart, you know. Just does. Making the church great again. Richard, Jim, you guys down there, I can't thank you enough, man. I know you enjoy doing it. I know you're probably tired. I'm just telling you. And folks, I want to say this. I don't feel bad saying it. You find a ministry that gets more bang out of its buck than us. And you give to that ministry. Go ahead. Do you see what we do? There's a lot of you out there who are watching the show. Everybody sent us $20 a month. $20 a month, $1 a day. $1 a day. We could really, really expand. We could do some, well, we're already expanding. We're already doing great things. Come on, man. Jump aboard here. Help us out. There's a blessing in the giving of it. Don Voss, I'm seeing you there. Don, can you jump? You jump in here, Don. I don't know if you can unmute your microphone there or not, but there's Don. Don came to a boot camp up in Wisconsin, brought his two sons. Actually, he came to the boot camp down there in Ohio, went to the gay pride parade with us. Don, after you've now that you got back home and the weekend's over, what's your response, Don, about what did you think of this last weekend up there in Wisconsin?
It was a good time, Dave. Something that, did, you know, obviously it did change my life. And once you're in that position, it tugs on your heart so much. I met a guy down there. I'm going to try to get a hold of him and maybe spend a couple hours a day or a couple hours in the morning before I go to work even. Try to get in contact with him. So I plan on doing that today and see if I can work it out where I can do a Thursday, Friday, or Thursday or Friday, depending on our schedules, to maybe get in contact and give them guys a hand down there.
Well, Don, you brought your two sons with you, Don.
Yeah.
What was their reaction this weekend?
Well, John called me last night at work and asked me how to get a hold of some signs, Dave. So he wants to, he says, I want the good ones, man. You know, the graphic ones. So
yeah, that's right.
So
we'll help you get them, man. We'll help you get them.
Now, obviously, I'll be willing to pay whatever we got to do. But.
Hey, here's a story, Don. Everybody sends in $20 a month. You don't need. See, here's what I say. And I don't care about. Listen, I don't care about your money. Keep your money.
I know.
I don't care about your money. But with the storehouse is supposed to be a place where you send money that when you need it, you can go take out of the storehouse.
Right.
Help us build a storehouse. So Don and his sons, they want to take some signs and go to the streets. Well, they shouldn't have to pay for the signs. We have it in the storehouse because people are giving $20 a month. And then when Rich and those guys want to fly back down to Port Arthur and do some more work, it's money's in the fund. Come on now. Folks, you guys hear my heart. Come on, man. Come on, man. Don lives clear up in Wisconsin, said he'd rather live out in the woods and do anything. And his eyes have really been opened. His second boot camp, his first time being, he went to the homo parade. Now he's been to that death pit down there in Wisconsin. So Don, you can't not do that stuff, not have something happen in the inside of you, brother. So God bless you.
Yeah, man. It definitely pulls at you, Dave. And, I'll always be involved. There's no going back. So.
Not only that, he sent home some sauerkraut with me. He made me some sauerkraut. I haven't got into it yet, Don. I showed it to my wife last night. We'll get eating that stuff here, too, I promise. Homemade sauerkraut. I'm an old German. Good stuff. Good stuff. Bless you, Don. Thanks for being in here this morning. Folks,
hey, we
got 23. Yeah, yeah.
One little plug. Hey, I just want to let you know, some of these guys are really geared up and wanting to come back down. So we're looking at a week. Gary Pierce contacted me. He's wanting to bring his son down and get his boy involved. And we're looking at the first week, somewhere around the first week of December. And I think we might drive down and bring more tools and stuff like that. So any man out there, woman that wants to get involved, we could sure use your help.
What week is that, Rich? What week are you looking at?
Well, I'm waiting on Dale to answer. He's okay. Got crews coming in the next couple of weeks, so we're looking maybe the first week of December.
Okay. Hey, folks, listen to me. If you guys will give $20 a month, I can fly these guys down. They shouldn't have to drive 20 hours. Come on. They shouldn't have to drive 20 hours. Some of you out there have sent $20 in for $2,000. 2,500, we can put about 10 guys down on the ground. $2,500. Huh? Come on, man. That's 100 of you giving $20. We're there.
And our chef wants to come back as well if he's available. So.
All right, David. We're hearing that one, Dave. Are you there, David? Jump in here, man. I see. Just yet unmute yourself, Dave. I don't know if maybe he walked away. I see he's still with, maybe he walked away. Hey, I want to show you something else we're doing, folks. People in Ohio. Hey, Jared, pull up there that, I just sent that one to you, Jared, of the billboard. We're putting up some billboards. We made the decision. I got a great deal of it. We made the decision that I'm putting up some billboards in certain parts of Ohio. We're starting out with four of them, and I'm going to move them around over the next several months. Got a great deal, and we think it's important. There it is. Jared's got it up there. You're going to begin to see these in Ohio. It says, "Can you handle the truth?" CoachDaveLive.com, talk radio with the sting. So we think it's important. We're trying to expose people to what we do here. We're trying to expose them. And I'm not trying to be the next Sean Hannity or anything like that, man. I'm just trying to get the truth out to people, because I'm going to tell you why here in just a second. If you hang with me, I'm so sick of it. So sick of it. Can you handle the truth? CoachDaveLive.com, talk radio with the sting. And trying to get the word out. So one of you, maybe some of you folks in Ohio will start seeing them. We don't have them in Texas, and we don't have them in Wisconsin, and we don't have them in other places. But we're going to try to put together an army right here in Ohio as well. All right? Anybody have anything for the good of the group before I get mad here and start unloading a little bit.
It looks fantastic.
Oh, Dave, it's Chad.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Vince. Chad?
Okay, I was just going to tell you that I was driving, you know, and I saw several of the road signs that were very vacant. They've been vacant for a while here on I-35 down here, so I may check on that for you if you want to look at that down here, too.
Hey, Chad, we do want to do that. And, folks, there you are again. Everybody gives $20 a month. We're able to do this kind of stuff. How important is the truth to you? Now, I want you to think about this. Some of you are hooked. You get up, you watch this show every day morning because it's good stuff. You get fed. Start your day off right. Don't others need to know about it? Give me $1 a day, and we'll be able to put these up in Texas. We'll put them up in Las Vegas, Jerry. We'll put them up out there. Oh boy, Lord. Well, the Lord's going to breathe on it. Either he expands it or he doesn't expand it. I don't know about you guys. I try to run out in front of the Lord a few times. You ever done that? Because it matters to me, man. Daggone matters to me. And I know what it does in the hearts of men when they get involved and they engage their faith. That's where my heart is. I'm in Matthew 23 today. Silver's with us. Maybe he can. I'm going to take off my nice hat. I'm going to put on my hunting hat. But I'm going to go hunting here a second. Matthew 23. And I'm going to let the Silver Man. I want you to start reading. This is a bit, but I'm heading someplace. I think it's important that we go here. We can start about anywhere we want to, but I want to start in, golly, It's a lot to read, but it's okay. It all goes together. Hey, Joe, I'm not going to say anything, okay? I'm just going to turn you loose and let you read beginning in verse 13. Let's start in verse – we can start earlier, but let's start in verse 13, Joe, and let's just let her rip as I hold my water here.
Okay. Jesus is speaking. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte.
Just get him saved, brother. Just get him saved. Go ahead.
And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves.
Amen. Amen. Wouldn't you love to hang around Jesus? Wouldn't you love been hanging around him when he got dressed in these boys? Go ahead.
Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor.
He's hitting these dudes. He's showing them the love of Jesus. Keep going there, Lord.
Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein.
Boy.
And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and
Amen.
Swallow a camel.
Mm.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup of the and of the platter, but wherein they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness.
Okay, we can stop right there, Joe. It just goes over and over and over. Jesus showing the love of Jesus to these guys. Jesus, the non-judgmental Jesus, being very, very judgmental. The loving, caring, soft-hearted Jesus reading the mail to the leaders. Reading the mail to the leaders. And one of the reasons that I wanted to have Joe read that for us is, let's go back if we can, guys. Let's go back to verse, where is it? Yeah, 22. This is all good stuff. It's all good stuff. There, Jared, right there. Woe unto you, I'm in 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you pay tithe of the mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith, That's what you should be talking about, boys, he said. You blind guides. She's straighter than that. Did you swallow a camel? Ooh, take a breath there, coach. Straighter than that and swallow a camel. The weightier matters of the law. Hey, Jared, click right there where it says my Facebook page. Does God love everybody? You're going to have to scroll down on this. Facebook amazes me because Facebook exposes, in my honest opinion, careful what I say here, how shallow some of our faith really is, how surface our faith really is. On down, Jared. I'm sorry. There it is. I got this meme yesterday, about 3 days ago. When was it? Doesn't matter. Bradley Dean put it up there on October 28th. And I just shared this meme. Pastor says, God hates the sin, not the sinner. God's word says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Psalm 5:5. Then Ecclesiasticus 12:6. This is from the Apocrypha. For the Most High hate the sinners and will repay vengeance unto the ungodly and keepeth them against the mighty day of their punishment. And then Bradley puts on the meme, your pastor lied. So Jared, just scroll down there a little bit. Because this thing goes on and on and on as long as my stinking arm is, with people arguing back and forth about whether or not God loves everybody. It goes on and on and on and on. And I'm thinking, number one, if you read down through this, I'm not going to read down through them. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. You talk about taking scriptures out of context. And not only taking scriptures out of context, but taking scriptures out of context that you don't even have the reasoning ability to read it and reason what it just said. Just reason what it just said. And so here we are, the love, 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 God loves everybody gospel. It goes on and on and on with Christians fighting with each other back and forth, which, by the way, straining at a gnat. It's straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. But people love to get on Facebook and shove their doctrine and their belief and criticize other believers, and they won't stick their nose outside of their little church and have a debate with anybody at all. Now, I copied down here. Jared, let's scroll on down there a little bit. Every once in a while I jump in there, I just get tired of it. It just wears me out. It just wears me out that they all use John 3:16 as the all end all. Or they like to say, well, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, whatever it says. Well, can you show me one place, one way, any scripture, anywhere where it says that God, that everybody is a child of God? Can anybody, Larry, somebody help me out there. Can anybody find for me, if we don't have this basic thing down, it's no wonder our theology is so screwed up. It's no wonder that when we go to the abortion clinic, we have more people praying for the daggone death squirts.
Hey, Coach, let me help you out this way right here.
Thanks, Larry. Help me.
You know, not everybody is a Roger Weaver and schooled on the law and how to manipulate people's thoughts towards, you know, defendants or whatever you want to call it. And
right.
When it comes to the law, you need a lawyer to help you see whatever point of view is popular at the time or whatever, who's getting the most money to pay for showing a point of view. And the same thing is true with the Word of God, I think. In order to misunderstand and misread what the Word of God really says, you need a preacher up there telling you wrong.
You need a professional Christian, don't you, Larry? Huh?
Hey, guys, doing a quick word, Coach?
Go ahead, Vince.
Dr. Brower has always said that God loves everyone because he created everyone, but he doesn't like everyone.
Good. Now, a relationship with everyone, right? A relationship with everyone. That's correct. He wants to have that relationship with him. But the idea that those death squirts standing outside the abortion clinic helping women kill their babies, the idea that God loves them, brothers, I'm sorry. I don't find that in the scripture. Larry, he made, what does it say, Larry? To them who received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. They weren't the sons of God. They were of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. And until we come to the realization that there is a spiritual war going on, and the devil has a team and God has a team, and that God, I'm sorry, God's love is available to the devil's team, but God doesn't love the devil's players.
You're right. And that John 3:16, anybody that went through third grade English class and remembers what they learned can read in there that God so loved, ED, past tense. When he created mankind, he loved his creation so much, he said, I'm going to make a way that every one of them can come into my family.
Jared, go to John 3, Jared.
Verse in the Bible that says God loves everyone. There's about five verses that says who he loves. Every one of those five verses connects
those
who are Dale.
Okay, so, brother, you and Larry are hitting it, but one of the things is we have to study to show ourselves approved. We have lost translation and understanding of what words say in the Bible. That word love, I have preached on that word for a four-week message this year. That word love right there, when you read it in the Greek, if you ask any Christian and I say, what is the word love? They say agape. And I hit the buzzer, wrong. The word is not agape. The word agape in the Greek is love feast. The word love used in John 3:16 is the word agapo. The word agapo means to esteem and to hold in value. For God so esteemed and held the world in value that he died for it.
Yes.
That's what it is. God desires to have a relationship, but to sit there and say the what we think that love is, boy, we have really twisted and misunderstood what love is.
It's the same situation. I say that if I go walking into a mall, a shopping mall, and I look around, I have a concern for everybody in there. I really do. I don't want anybody to have a heart attack. I don't want anybody to get shot. I have a great if somebody falls down, I'm going to help them. But Dale, I'm not in a relationship with them. And I can't say that I love them like I love my own family. I love my wife far more than I love my neighbor's wife. At least I should. Why? Because I'm in relationship with her. So God has an overarching care and concern for everybody, but apart from Christ, the wrath of God's fallen on you. You are not in. God does not love everybody outside of his family the same way we don't love everybody outside of our family. We have a respect for them. We have a concern for them.
Yep.
How can you love somebody you're not in a relationship with? How can you love somebody you're not in relationship with?
Hey, Coach.
Hang on a minute. Go ahead.
Let me touch that other verse that a lot of people, and I have the same experience you do. Those are the two main most things people say when they're trying to argue that God loves everybody. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That's 100% true. It's also 100% true that he died once for all. He ain't going to do it on the cross again. You start reading about that in Hebrews, and you find out that in order to meet his love, you need to be a part of his family.
Amen, Larry. Hey, Jared, go down to John 3:16. Go down there because this is the world's most famous scripture. You see it in football games. Now, folks, can you read and can you think? Okay, just stay here with me. For God so loved the world. Time out. We've just assumed that means people. He loved the world. We just assume that means people. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that everybody believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever. That's a qualifier, isn't it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. What about the whosoever nuts? Am I misreading this? God loves everybody, whosoever. What about the whosoever nuts? And see, we read into this what's not in there. It's not in there. Scroll down, Jared. Only... Go ahead, Jared.
Hey, Coach, listen. Listen, yes. this is absolutely key. Here's another one of them words that we just take it for granted. The next word, it's not just whosoever, but whoever soever believeth. Now that word believeth, watch this. This is like a nail in a coffin. That word believeth and the word faith in Hebrews 11:6 and in Luke, which says when the Son of Man returns to the earth, will he find faith? Okay, the word faith is pistos. And the word believeth is pistos. Do you know they both mean the same thing? That word believe in Greek is this, a moral conviction in a holy God, a profession, and a continual walk in him. Brother.
Oh, Dale, stop doing that to me, man. Stop doing that.
Listen,
Jesus loves everybody, Dale. He loves everybody.
Now insert that definition. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever has moral conviction in God, a continual profession of God, and a continual walk in God shall not perish but have everlasting life.
They all love it. I love it. Hey, folks, stay with me here. Verse 17.
Continual.
Stay with me.
Emphasis.
What's that?
The word
continual.
Continual.
Coach?
For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that doesn't believe, he's already condemned because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God.
So now watch, Coach, that same word right there. For those who do not have a moral conviction and a profession and a continual walk in God, the wrath of God abides on them.
Come on, man.
So whosoever means only those willing to love the Father enough to obey his teachings for him to love them back.
That makes you a whosoever. That makes you a whosoever. And it's available to everybody. God so loved the world that he made this available to everybody. But not everybody comes. Not everybody does it. And the guy standing at the abortion clinic, the abortionist, are you to tell me, folks, come on, huh? If some guy down the street from you is slicing up born children, are you to tell me that God loves them? You're not. Tell me. Come on, tell me you're smarter than that.
We're smarter.
The Bible says in Psalm 5:5 that God hates all workers of iniquity. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that doesn't settle in with your theology. But there's...
And not only that, Coach, Proverbs chapter 6, there's six things the Lord hates, yea, the seventh is an abomination unto him. He hates lying tongue. He hates feet that are swift unto evil. He hates hands that murder. He hates hands that steal. Brother, God hates a lot of things.
And those are all connected to people, aren't they, Dale? Tongues and feet and hands, aren't they all connected to people? Do we think he just hates the hand? He just hates the hands?
Absolutely.
Come on, you're smarter than that. Jared, swing down to the last one, very last verse. I'm feeling this morning, boys. We're goring some oxes. Okay, here you go. Are you ready? Verse 35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that doesn't believe on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Boys, girls, somebody help me out here.
I'll help you out.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, and then all you got to do is then you look over in that little epistle in John, that letter where love is written all over it, and it says, my little children, I write these things that you may not sin. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He is the propitiation for our sins, not only for ours, but the whole world. And it's a choice. It's like going to a car lot. There's all the cars right there. But you're going to have to choose the one. I'm going to tell you something. Christ did become the propitiation. He eased the anger, but he's only the advocate to those who believe, those who have a moral conviction in him, a continual profession in him, and a continual walk in him. That's what caused David to take down Goliath. is that he had this moral conviction where the rest of the Israelites didn't. That's Amen. Why Noah could build the boat, because Noah had a moral conviction in God when the rest of the world didn't.
So, folks, if you got a letter right now from the government, it said, hey, listen, Coach, I want you to round up and bring all of your family members here to our office. Everybody in your family, you bring them here into our office. Oh, okay, you go do that. Well, am I going to go get my neighbors? Am I going to go get all the people who go to church with me? Is that what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get all them? Or am I going to bring those who are in a relationship with me? My children, my blood children, right? So there's clearly those who are in relationship with me and those who are not in relationship with me. And I care about those who are not in relationship with me, but not in the same way I care about those I have a relationship with. I know them. They know me. And who does God love? He so loved the world, and he wants everybody to come be in his family. But they aren't. They're just people that he would like for them to have a relationship, but they don't.
Hey, Coach.
God. Somebody Dave. Email. Just a second, George. Yeah, go ahead. Good, Rich. Then, George.
If you get that letter from the government, give me a call. I'll go with you. Brother,
it's funny because I would call some of you guys before I call help. I'll be careful what I said. Go ahead, George.
You know, Coach, I fear that at large in America today, the church, we've like the Apostle Paul said, it's become a different gospel. It's not the gospel. It's a totally different gospel. Nothing different. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing different than happened in Paul's day. It's just happened on a wide scale.
Okay.
Two points real quick. Okay. Number one is, no, there is not a different gospel in the church. There's a different gospel in the false church. And number two, to support what you've been saying here, Coach, and what Pastor Dale has been so eloquently supporting and building on, I had another hunting moment yesterday morning. That's why I wasn't here yesterday. I went up and sat on a deer stand to look at nothing for several hours, but that's okay because I really had a lot of time to listen. And you know, God's will is that all should be saved. God's will is that we all prosper, even as our soul prospers, and all those other things that are in there. But his plan of action is that each one of us use our free will that he gave us to decide to come into his family. His will is not to force if God's will was to force everybody on the face of the earth, and you know, everybody he loves, if it was to force them into his family, then there would be no hell. And Jesus was one of the biggest liars on the face of the earth when he said, most of the people that claim me are going to hell.
Why is the gate broad and narrow?
You've got to understand that God doesn't go around. He's not in the business of forcing people to do his will. When you pray, thy will be done, part of that prayer should be an automatic, I am willingly turning over the guidance of my life so that your plan for me can be executed. And then his plan for you is for you to bring forth his will here on earth, even as it is in heaven, to the amount that you're able to decide to and allow and make happen. God's not up there stirring the pot and forcing everybody to become Christians.
To as many as received them, he gave them the power to become the Son of God. Isn't that what it says, Larry?
That's it.
As many as received them, he gave them the power to become sons of God. Not everybody. As many as received him. As many. If you don't receive him, do you have the power to become a son of God? I thought everybody was a son of God. I thought God was all of our fathers.
Romans chapter 8, that's why we're adopted. If we're not adopted, it doesn't mean we don't exist. It just means that we're not part of the family, bro.
Dale, it's so clear to me. Okay, so because I got my knife out here. I got my club that Robert gave me. Robert, if you're watching, I got my club here. I don't know if I can get that thing. Figure out how to get this thing open. It's that thing I snap. You know, Robert, I got this thing ready for me today because, oh, Lord, do I have to do this? I don't want to make anybody mad. I don't want to do it. We strain a gnat and we swallow a camel. Hey, Jared, pull up the one that says Gary DeMar. It's about the fifth in the bottom. Pull that one up. I posted this the other day just because I thought this was interesting. I thought it was very interesting. And I read down through it. I didn't make a comment about it. I posted it just for people to say, concerning Halloween. And I'm not going to take the time to read it now. We'll get it to you so you can read it. I posted it on my Facebook page. And can I tell you something? Oh, Lord, how do I do this? Straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Somebody help me out here. I'm just going to throw this out there and somebody tell me. You ought to read my Facebook. Just read the comments going down through there on my Facebook page about Halloween. On and on and on and on and on and on and on, and on back and forth about Halloween. I'm not here approving Halloween, okay? Stop it. But I ask myself this, and I'm going to ask you this today. Which would be worse for your child? You say, Coach, this is a false dichotomy you're about to put up. But yeah, it is. It is. It's a false choice. But that's okay, because it's where we live our lives. Which would be worse for your child? Walking around with them through your neighborhood, trick-or-treating, with them dressed up as Superman, or putting them in the public school?
Easy one, Coach. The public school.
It's not even close, is it?
No, not even.
Can I choose B, both of the above?
Well, no, because
Coach, is that there's even a false dichotomy to begin with. The fact of the matter is that I don't let them do Halloween, but I also don't put them in public schools. That's crazy. So
that's what I'm saying. I mean, the people who are on Facebook complaining about Halloween have their kids in public schools and talk about how dangerous Halloween is. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? What is wrong with our
people? But we turn them over to evil the next.
What's that?
And we turn them over to evil for the next 364 days. I said, then we turn them over to evil and wicked people for the next 364 days to teach our children that God doesn't exist. How foolish is that?
Dale, and then criticize people who go trick or treating. You understand? I don't think you ought to do either. I get it. But the stuff we worry about today
is the 500th anniversary of the Day of Reformation. That's what we should be celebrating. I know you know him, Joseph Spurgeon, the great grandson of Charles Spurgeon, had a son today, and he named him Calvin. Is that incredible?
That is. He had his son today, didn't he? I saw that on Facebook.
Yes, and he named him Calvin.
Calvin.
Calvin Spurgeon. The great-great-great-grandson of Charles Spurgeon on the Day of Reformation, brother. That's divine.
Charles Luther Spurgeon, or Calvin Luther Spurgeon, I believe was his full name. So Dale, do you think that Martin Luther, I'm just theorizing here, do you think he chose this day on purpose, or was it just accidentally he went out on All Saints Day and pounded those things? What do you think, folks?
I don't think it was on purpose. I think it's just the day that God divinely chose for him.
So the people on Facebook, I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes, who go on these rants about Christmas and about Halloween, Easter, just go to Facebook. They're everywhere. They don't lift a finger. They put the kids in public school, some of them. They don't lift a finger to end abortion. They don't do anything at all. They ignore the weightier matters of the law. That leads me to somewhere else. Are you with me, boys? You still with me?
Yeah. Along the aspects of today being God's Kairos time for the wall, and Martin Luther went out and nailed them to the doors or whatever. The more important thing in that little story is that today was the day that he was obedient and did it when God said.
Amen. Amen. So that's what this article, I'm not going to read this article, but this is what this article is about. And I just put it up there. It was written in 2013, talking about the fact that Halloween, All Saints Day has been like so many other things, co-opted by the devil. It didn't start out as something bad. It didn't. That's all I said when I posted it. Do you know what the real origins of it? I'm not saying it's good now, but it's like so many other things we have in our life. It has been co-opted by the devil. Jared, go to the link that says only six commandments. Can I show you something? Straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. What does it say? Forgetting the weightier matters of the law. Let's see. You have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, and you're spending all your time worrying about Halloween and all this other stuff. But Jared, get it up there. So here it is. Recent survey, just six commandments. Christians feel four of them are no longer important, but they probably don't celebrate Halloween. Scroll down there, Jared. I want to do this very quickly. Well, I feel somebody getting your hind ends up in the air. Keep on going. Clear on down, Jared. It's going to be, I'm going to just give the quick version of it. Keep on going. Keep on going. Okay. There we go. Stop right there, Jared. See that little chart? But this is Britain's. Think only things you shouldn't murder. That's good. What's that, Jim? That's good. I'm sorry. You hearing me, Jared? We okay? Okay, 93 think we shouldn't steal. Well, that's good. Why, 87% still think you should not bear false witness against you shouldn't lie. 87% Christians still think you shouldn't lie. Why, 73% think you shouldn't commit adultery. Think of that. Only 73% of Christians think you shouldn't commit adultery. Four. One, two, three, four. I'm sorry, five. 69% still think you should honor and obey your mother and father. Boy, there you go, JR. Six, 61% think you should not covet other people's possessions. That's the number one sin, in my opinion. That's the sin that's leading to all the other ones. But hang on, here we go. As we're worrying about Halloween and Easter, you shall not worship idols or statues or symbols. Only 31% of Christians believe that in Britain. 31%. That commandment's out the door. Only 23%, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. Only 23%. Number 8, 9, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. Only 20% of Christians in Britain think that's important anymore. And let's go to the last one. Remember to keep the Sabbath day. Only 19%. See, Coach, what are you saying? I'm saying that we in Christendom are swallowing and choking on a gnat and swallowing a camel. So much of the stuff that we are concerned about, I believe, are you ready? I believe it because it's just family feuds. I think it's because we don't really get out to where the devil's roaming. We don't really get out of the abortion clinic and face down the death scorch. We don't really get out to where the homosexuals are roaming. So we like to argue with each other about Christmas and Easter and Halloween. Listen, I'm not endorsing any of those. I'm trying to show.
Hey, Coach.
Go, George.
Coach, you know what? I think as a collective group here in America, it's led to we've lost our conscience. We've gone insane as a nation at large.
Well, the church has certainly The church has gone insane.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Church has. The church is not fighting over the weightier matters of the law. In fact, it's pretty much minutia we fight over. And what did the Lord say?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I just keep coming back to this, Pastor Dale. I just keep coming back to the same
brother.
Thing. Just keep coming
we'll
back
debate,
to this.
We'll debate on a hot. We'll debate on a Halloween, but put up a picture of an aborted baby, and nobody wants to stand in defense of that.
Yeah,
they don't want to say anything.
Right.
We want to be silent about that.
But you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment. Try that one in church. Mercy and faith. The Lord said those are far more important, baby, than Easter. Far more important than Halloween. Far more important than Harry Potter.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
My wife and I were sitting in bed talking last night, and I can't remember what it was. We had just watched we watched the news or whatever. We were talking about we were watching Harry Connick's show. And he was talking about women in defense of them or whatever, and the lady's part. And I said, "Baby, I don't understand. Even in a scene in a movie in Hollywood where it might be where a husband and they're going to get married and they kiss one another." I said, "But in real life, this guy's married." I said, "Would that offend you if I was an actor in Hollywood kissing somebody else, even though the part was a clean?" She goes, "It would offend me." I said, Why do we even subject our children to 2 hours worth of this garbage in a movie theater? You know, we want to put that out there, and we do this time and time again. Now, watch this. Those three things, judgment, I think that speaks for itself. The next one is mercy. First off, we better realize, homologeo, come in agreement, that we need to fall in the judgment of God that we might receive his mercy, that we're guilty. And then that last one, faith, that's pistos. That is this moral conviction. They don't have moral conviction. And if we love our neighbor, right, back over to Luke chapter 15, right? When you judge, right? When you judge, you shall do no injustice in your judgment to your neighbor, but you shall judge your neighbor fairly. We don't want to do that.
No, we sure don't want to do that. All we got to do is look around and see what's happening to Trump compared to what it was Hillary did, right? And we sit out here and we say, how can they ignore this? How can, because why? They're ignoring the weightier matters of the law. See, they're going for politics and power. They're ignoring the weightier matters of the law. If Trump's done something wrong, then charging. But my Lord, Hillary, are you kidding me? Obama, are you kidding me? See, the weightier matters of the law. We don't understand. America will never understand that we began to really slide down that hill when the President of the United States lied under oath and got reelected. Are you with me? That's the weightier matter of the law. Not Halloween. Not Easter.
Right.
Not Christmas. That's the weightier matter of the law.
Well, even on that thing that I saw that with a guy that was indicted, the Trump campaign guy, had nothing to do with it. It was like from 2012. It was like it has nothing. Absolutely nothing to do with the election. Nothing.
Because it's ridiculous. Cutout. They're straining at a gnat and they're swallowing a camel. I'm going to get back to some of this stuff tomorrow because we're about out of time. Kevin Spacey. How about Kevin Spacey? And now we find out that Kevin Spacey, it was an open secret. He was doing this all the time. This just isn't the first time. And the amazing thing, and we'll talk about this tomorrow if the Lord lets me. The amazing thing is the homosexuals are mad because Kevin Spacey connected what they don't want connected. And that is homosexuals and young boys. That's a no-no, baby. That is a no-no when we know for a fact that most homosexuals were first indoctrinated into it when a male older than them molested them. Huh? Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Get your kids out of school. Don't gripe about Halloween if your kids are in public school. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Amen, brother.